All right, we're going to continue with our media availabilities here at Richmond Raceway for tomorrow night's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Toyota Owners 400. And we are joined by Virginia native Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Ground Toyota, who has three wins here at Richmond Raceway. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless mic to you to kick off the questions. We'll start up front here with Hank.
Denny, when you come here, do you have any sense of it being you kind of being the host and trying to hold home field advantage?
Well, I don't know if there's any advantage for sure, but certainly feel like I know what I need out of the car to be successful here, I'd say. So, you know, just searching for that feel is really what you do every time you come here. When you have a, you know, especially the races that we've dominated here, you know, that's a special type of feel that you have to have in the race car. So getting it out of the car, especially through all the rules changes and different balance changes, is the biggest task. But certainly this is kind of our wheelhouse of tracks, you could say, for sure.
Do you feel like you should be the guy to beat?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, our cars have been running really good. We've been finishing really well, and running really well every single week. So I certainly probably on the short list, I'd say.
We're going to go in the back to John, and then we'll have a couple questions up in the back from our Richmond area.
John Harrell, NM Motorsports Report. With the dominance that you, Kyle, Brad, and Joey have shown so far this season, are we on the brink of like a theoretical big four, or is it still too early to say that?
Yeah, it's just too early. I think that you really need to, you know, get into the summer months and, you know, it allows some of these teams to really make adjustments. I mean, I think we've seen really even from the West Coast swing, the Hendrick cars in particular have made some pretty good strides. So I think that that's going to continue to swing and make, you know, teams are going to make gains over the next couple months. It takes a little time. You know, anytime you have a major rules package change, there's always a few teams that hit it right off the bat, and it just takes other teams a little bit longer to catch up once they see what you're doing. So, it, you know, really by the late summer, everyone will have seen what they need to see, and they'll have caught up, and the field will be closer than ever. Then you can kind of determine, you know, who's what.
We have a couple questions in the back, and then we'll go to Claire.
Denny back here. Sean Robertson, CBS6 here in Richmond. I know you're focused on Saturday's race, but I want to get your thoughts on the feeling you had coming into your home track as the defending Daytona 500 winner.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'll always love coming to this racetrack. It's just, it's you know, it is home. It's one that I've been to many, many times, even when I wasn't racing. So it is, it's certainly the home track for me, but it's just exciting because I know that, you know, I very well could have a great weekend ahead of us, you know, and really focus a lot of my efforts on how can we go out there and dominate the race, not just win, but dominate. And, you know, really that's been the primary focus for the last 5 days. And, you know, hopefully we put it all together for tomorrow night. But certainly when I come home, it's a special feeling for sure.
Denny, Mark Davis in the back here again from NBC 12 here in Richmond. How different does this season feel than last season? Obviously, struggled to get a win last year, and now this year off to a good start with two already. You know, how much different does that set the stage for you going into the remainder of the season? How different does that feel?
Yeah, it's just different in general. I mean, everything is different. A lot of personnel on my race team has changed over the off season. You know, it's not just a crew chief. There's a lot of key people that have been changed, and so I think that really it's a revamped team all around. All new pit crew members, everyone's new on the pit crew, so I feel like it's almost an expansion team of Joe Gibbs Racing. We've really mixed in a lot of different guys, and certainly it's, you know, the relationships are all still growing, but I'm really excited to be running as good as we are this early in the season, which is kind of uncharacteristic of our 11 car anyway, but certainly to have, you know, wins early, you know, running up front every week, it's a great feeling knowing that we haven't even got to our potential yet.
Continue.
All right. In the back, Denny. Kirk Narosky from WRC-TV. You're obviously very familiar with this track, but the rain's kind of welcoming you back to Central Virginia. How does that impact things in preparation for the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we did a good job of managing our first practice. Chris decided to go out there and use two sets of tires and really focus on nothing but race trim in the first practice. And I thought that we had a decent car there. So I feel like we did a good job managing. We've done everything. We predicted the rain correctly. And now, you know, we're either going to qualify or we're going to start second. So either way, I think we'll be pretty good. And we've executed so far this weekend pretty well. We just got to put it all together tomorrow night and not make any mistakes, and we should be up front.
We're going to go to Claire and then Noah.
Claire B. Lang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. So I talked to Chris Gabehart, after your crew chief, after the race, and we talked about the speeding and what drives you to want to get right on the edge. And he said he admires that, he understands that, but we got to get this speeding under control. And he said you were going to meet this week. And I wonder if you can explain it a little bit and talk about what you guys came up with, or if you had the meeting on it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, it is a risk reward, and I've always pushed things to the very edge. And, you know, really, when I came into the sport, I remember, you know, having conversations with Wheels and Mike Ford, and I said, all right, so the speed limit's 35, and they said, yeah, but you know, they give you 5 mile per hour buffer, and I remember my rookie season, I said, well, why do you set my tax at 35? Why not like 39.9? And they're like, well, we can start doing that. And I beat everyone on pit road like badly for a year. And so I've always been the guy to kind of always get to the edge and find that edge. And now there's not as big as reward, because I mean, everyone's dealing those tenths of a mile per hour now. Everyone sets their stuff as high as they can. But certainly, it has its rewards and has its downfalls, certainly. Texas, I had a speeding penalty, and then I come into pit road on the final stop, and I had Clint Bowyer right behind me, and I continued to push. And it got me a 2.5-second lead leaving pit road. So, I mean, there's a balance to it. I mean, it certainly has its rewards to be aggressive, but, you know, there's a time and a place for it, I do believe, and certainly the speeding penalties that we've had this year, we've had three. Two of them have been really unique anomalies. It hasn't been just, you know, kind of straight line. It's been accelerating or decelerating into the box. So there's some things that definitely could get cleaned up. And if you look last year, we had, I think, four penalties after Talladega, and then we didn't have any for months and months and months. So it's – if you look historically, I do speed early in the season. I typically get it cleaned up by the end of the year once I get more data points and understand where my limits are. But certainly it's mistakes that I don't want to have happen, because it hurts the team. And obviously last week it hurt our strategy coming out on pit road there with the lead, and then, you know, having to go back to 20th is not ideal. So it's certainly, I've put my team in a hole where it's put us in tough strategy moments through the year so far, but we've had the speed and everything to rebound from it.
So are you going to change this weekend?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's something I really wanted to focus on in happy hour. Chris actually saw that the rain was coming, so he had me, you know, make a couple runs there right in the first practice. So certainly it's something that we do every week, but certainly I'm more cognizant of it, not that I wasn't before, but you certainly want to hedge down to, it's okay to be, you know, tenth or two slow.
I'll go to Noah and then Don.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. Denny, we talked about you and Chris now pairing, and right off the bat you guys had speed. As we've gotten some races under our belt now, how has the relationship been, not only at the track but off the track as well, with that driver crew chief pairing?
It's been good. It's been really good. And I feel like our communication just gets better every week, and we start to understand each other more and more every week. And, you know, I put a lot of trust in him that whatever he says do, then that's what I go out there and do. He sets the game plan. It's up to me to go out there and execute that game plan that he sets out. So it's a good relationship. He's on it. I mean, he's definitely – no learning curve, I feel like, with him. He's been on it. I've been super impressed with the things that he's done, the calls he's made, the setups on the race car. Everything he's done is for our race team's been a big, big help, and for me personally.
Go to Don.
Don Jeffrey, CSPN Media. I thought that coming into the season with this new package, with your drafting abilities, that you would be a real factor on the mile and a half tracks. Texas was the first real race where the cars were bunched up and we had a bunch of leads and runs. Mm. What did you learn in that race that you can use going forward to Charlotte and the other mile and a half that we're facing later in the season?
Yeah, I mean, Texas is one of those racetracks where we were able to run wide open through one of the corners consistently throughout a run. You won't really see that again until we get to maybe Kansas and maybe Michigan and Michigan as well. So you can't really bunch all the mile and a half and say they're all going to be the same. This package is going to be good, really good on specific tracks like Texas, Michigan, Kansas. But it's going to have its downfalls on the other tracks, you know, possibly Charlotte and the other ones, where you have to, if you have to let out of the gas, it's tough because of the big wake. There is no draft per se. So, certainly I think the strategy comes into play as a driver on those tracks, what line you want to be, especially going on the backstretch after a restart. You know, you have an option to go high or low. That's where the drafting aspect comes in, and the driver puts himself in the line he wants to be in. But other than that, you really don't use any technique from a Daytona or a Talladega, so it's kind of its own beast.
Go back in the right.
This is Rebecca Cottingham from Legacy Maker Sports Network. Denny, what are your thoughts on the new changes that they've made to qualifying with the new 5-minute rules that you have in place now?
Yeah, we're worried about it, frankly, especially in the first round. If you average it out, they're going to have to get through 8 cars per minute. If you run 3 laps, which you typically do in the first round, that's a minute. And so that means 8 cars are going to have to be on the track at one time, plus you got to get a new round of cars in once those are done. So that takes an extra 30 seconds. Some guys are going to get screwed, and it's going to be bad. I mean, there's going to be people pulling out in front of each other. So that part of it's going to be pretty tough. It's just the mathematics doesn't work. But, I don't know whether we're trying to fit into a TV window or what it might be. I'm sure there was thought put into that 5 minutes in the first round. But at this track, 8 cars on the track at one time, it'll be tough for some guys. It might be good for fights, though. You might see one of those Suarez to Benedetto things.
Any additional questions for Denny? Come up front to Lee and then Dustin.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. You're one of only 2 guys to get multiple wins away from Kyle Busch. Does it help to have the playbook?
Playbook of what? Gibbs. I certainly know I'm with the team that I want to be with, and obviously when Kyle has the success that he has, you're in very similar equipment. That doesn't mean we all drive it the same or able to drive it the same. It's a big plus to have, you know, the teammates that I have, especially the long established ones like Truex and Kyle that have been in the sport for such a long time, that when they come to these racetracks, they really know what they're looking for. And anytime you kind of get off track, they are the ones that you really lean on. And Eric's quickly learning it as he goes. So certainly it's an advantage, I believe, to have, you know, the Gibbs, Joe Gibbs, and, you know, probably the best driver out there on your side.
Go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. What do you anticipate the racing to be like at Talladega with the changes and also with the spoiler? How different will it be? And is there the possibility of some sort of tandem draft element coming back in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. You probably have to ask the guys that did test it. I talked to Larson. He was there that tested at Daytona. And just through our talks, I don't even think he knows, honestly, what to expect. He said that they really had to add a lot of spoiler and even some wickers on the car to get it down to the speed that they were hoping. I don't know. To me, there's been 3 types of legitimate types of super speedway racing, and this could create a 4th. There was a way that you drafted with the old car, you know, before the car tomorrow. There was the tandem. That was a type of super speedway drafting that took a certain technique and strategy. And then the package that we have today, that, you know, where it has kind of that bubble effect. So I don't know which one it's going to be a mix of, and interested to see when I get there.
Anything final for Denny?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the tandem, just simply because you relied on someone else to drive your car. If you were leading, you were relying on, I mean, you were just holding the wheel. It was like those chain races in the local short tracks where one car's got the brakes, one's got the engine, and the guy in the middle is just along for the ride. That's pretty much what it is. You know, it definitely is tough. I wouldn't be a fan of the tandem racing, but you know, who knows how it all turns out. I don't think it will be tandem, but I'm not sure, to be honest.
All right, Denny, thanks for joining us. Good luck this weekend.